You're listening to Valley Edition. Think of California's major technology centers. You have the Bay Area, LA, San Diego, but what about Fresno? There's a group of local technologists who hope that soon that idea might not sound quite so odd. Their vision for transforming the region with higher-paying jobs is attracting national attention, including from James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic. James and his wife Deborah started writing about Fresno late last year as part of a piece on high-speed rail for his American Futures project with The Atlantic. Now he's back and joins us once again on Valley Edition to talk about his latest writing. James, welcome.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you again.
Before we talk about your latest articles, refresh our memory about your American Futures project and why you're spending time in Fresno.
Right. Over the past year and a half now, my wife Deb and I and our friend John Tierney, a former professor, we've been traveling around the country in our little propeller plane and looking at smaller or medium-sized cities that had some kind of challenge of one kind or another. They've lost one sort of industry and had to find another one. They've had political divisions. They've had natural disasters or whatever, and we've been writing these up in an ongoing series on The Atlantic's website, in magazine articles, and with Marketplace Radio saying, here is what you see if you try to find out what happened in Greenville, South Carolina, and why they came back from a tech stock collapse. Here is how Sioux Falls, South Dakota, made itself into a technology and finance center. Here is how Eastport, Maine, is struggling to stay on. And when we came to California, we were looking for places, you know, not in coastal cities because their problems are a whole different range, but in inland California, what can you learn by seeing about cities in the Central Valley, up in the Northwest where we'll be? So that's what's brought us to Fresno and why we've been trying to say, if you consider the challenges Fresno has, who is trying to do anything about them?
Usually when this part of the state gets national coverage, it's of the serious challenges this region faces, whether it's environmental, economic. You're looking at maybe some budding success stories or at least things that have potential for success. Is that also part of your mission with this project?
Yes, and I would distinguish what we're trying to do from two other things which might sound familiar from national media looking at smaller town America. One is simply quaintness. If you find some place that has like the biggest Harley Davidson rally in South Dakota every summer, or somebody who has, when I was a kid growing up in Redlands, actually in the Inland Empire, we would take buses down to San Diego for trips or sports games or whatever. We went through Temecula, which in those days had giant, super life-sized statues made out of sand of the Last Supper. And so we're not trying to do that. We're also not trying to do what I think of as simply happy talk, of saying, oh, yeah, isn't America great if you look at all these real Americans? It's rather looking at the operating fabric of communities and states and saying, if you read about the Central Valley, for example, as just being this lower wage, high pollution, high ecological stress region, you think one thing. If you imagine that people there are actually trying to remake their circumstances, what do you find about what they're doing? So that's why we've been looking at the technology startup people in Fresno. We have probably three more installments we're going to do, which will end up with The Rogue, where we were there. We were in Fresno while The Rogue was going on.
It's a great time to be in the Valley for the Rogue Festival. I want to start out with one of the pieces that you recently wrote about the Valley, and in this case about technology. You wrote about the local technology hub Bitwise, which is growing their presence in downtown Fresno. Their product isn't an app or a piece of hardware, but they definitely are selling a vision of the region's future and of a future that involves higher paying jobs. What do you find compelling about their story? Because there are a lot of communities across the country, even here in California, that want to sell themselves as the next Silicon Valley. What makes Bitwise unique in your view?
I think the first thing that's worth mentioning that I would notice about it if I were a Fresnan, if I were thinking about the region's growth, is that it's part of a national trend. And indeed, one reason why it caught our eye when we were first there in Fresno a year ago is that we'd seen such similar things in South Carolina, in upstate New York, in South Dakota, where you have typically some youngish person who had opportunities to work or study or begin a career outside his or her homeland, had grown up in Greenville, South Carolina, and went away, or grown up in rural Vermont and come back, but then decided that their connections to place were significant enough that they wanted to go back to some place that mattered to them, raise their family there, and use the local realities of that place to sort of leverage themselves to take advantage of its technology. And I think that's what was interesting about the Bitwise story there with its founders, Jake and Irma, who we've followed over the last year, of saying it's not realistic that Fresno is going to be the next Palo Alto or the next Mountain View. You can tick off the 1,000 reasons why that's not the case. But there are some particular things for which the Fresno region has a tech advantage, and let's see what can be done with them.
You also write about education in your time here. You and your wife, you wrote about the traditional, or rather non-traditional schools like the Kepler School downtown, which is a charter, and then CART, the Center for Advanced Research and Technology, which is run by a consortium of local school districts in Clovis. What did you find unique there? Because, again, education, innovation, charter schools, that's something we see everywhere. Is there something different that you found with those programs?
I think it was the local version of an important national trend that caught our eye. And with a couple of themes that if Deb were here, I will speak on her behalf, but if she were here, she probably would be telling you that the prevailing national narrative about public schools, especially in communities that have one sort of economic trouble or another, is just that public schools are bad. You have the nice public schools in some prosperous suburbs. Otherwise, you have this bleak public school landscape. And therefore, it's been interesting and positive for us to see, again, in places like Fresno, people innovating both on the elementary level, which Kepler certainly does, in a way that Deb in a piece yesterday was talking about, trying to make people feel as if they were involved in the entire city. Again, something we've seen in Mississippi and in Louisiana and in Southern California. And the other is what CART is doing is in a way the most interesting trend we've seen in education around the country, which is providing a modernized and no condescension version of what used to be called vocational education. That when I was a kid in the Pat Brown era in California, vocational education was for people who didn't have any prospects. Now it's actually one of the most promising areas of trying to find ways to match people who might not all be four-year college prospects with what are called career technical tracks, of getting them equipped in the realities of the computer world, a variety of other technical skills that actually can be the avenue for higher wage careers in the long run. So CART is a little different in that way from ones we've seen in other places, but it was that same sense of adapting the traditions of education for the realities of a different economic era.
Back to the Kepler Neighborhood School, you write about their mission in serving kids in the middle. That's something that I know you had some experience with in Washington, D.C. Maybe if you can talk about your thoughts on that and the role that a school like Kepler can play in that area in focusing not just on the at-risk kids on one end of the spectrum or at the high-achieving kids on the other end of the spectrum, but those in the middle. And why is that so important?
Right. I think there's a trend that Deb was writing about both at CART and at Kepler and other places we've been. And I think our kids, we had spent, our kids are now in their 30s and are both living in California and married and running their own little businesses here. But much of their upbringing was overseas. We lived in Japan and Malaysia. But when we came back to Washington, D.C., they were going to a public junior high and public high school in the D.C. area. And it was our observation that those schools were great for the layer of kids at the very top of the school distribution who were going on to fancy colleges, who were excelling in all the activities, and they were required by law to be good for kids at the other end who had developmental problems or behavior problems or whatever. But the 60 or 70% of the people who were neither the pure all-stars nor the troublemakers were not the object of so much attention. And I think that CART in particular said that was a place where it felt it could be a really good arena for those kids to make the most of their potential. You could use a sporting analogy. If you're a future NFL or Major League Baseball player, you're going to get a lot of attention. Other kids don't get the right kind of attention on their health or fitness that they might. And that again, I'd say from Duluth, Minnesota, and South Carolina is something we've seen other places. And a sort of background mission we're having is helping, is trying to connect people around the country who are doing similar things with others doing the same thing or working in the same direction in other very different states or cities, so they recognize there's a kind of movement going on.
We're talking with James Fallows of The Atlantic today. James, you spent quite a bit of time in the San Joaquin Valley now working on this project. Is there anything that you think this area can learn from some of the other cities that you've traveled to and written about as part of this project?
I think that the... I'm actually about to... We have at least two more installments coming up this week. One about the efforts, the prospect for success or failure in the downtown revival efforts in Fresno, and then some more things about trying to bring an entire workforce up when you have one with the ethnic and educational and economic diversity that the Fresno area has, and the Central Valley in particular. My impression is I think that there are two things that strike us about the people in Fresno who are making plans. One is a recognition that they're living and working in Fresno and not trying to be La Jolla that happens not to be by the ocean, or not trying to be Redmond, Washington without Microsoft, but recognizing there are some unique advantages of being in the center of this agricultural district and having that being the sort of lever and porthole for things working there. So an understanding of the realities, including the pluses of the place you're working, matters a lot. And we've written about that in Mississippi and South Carolina. The other, I think, is quite striking is the local narrative, and I plan to write about this too in Fresno. I grew up in a part of Southern California that was generally looked down on by the coastal areas. My part of the Inland Empire was always seen as sort of loser land and palooka land and oaky land, in the same way the Central Valley traditionally has. So finding ways to have a sort of proud local narrative of saying, yes, you know, our area stands for the following six things. We have this vision of how it's going to improve. Places we've seen that have that sort of local story, they are much more likely to succeed. Well, put it this way, places we've seen that succeed all have some kind of story like that, and ones that haven't succeeded don't have as strong of a story. So I think understanding the realities of the setting and having a sort of powerful local narrative about who we are and where we're going, those things both resonate from Fresno to other places we've seen.
Do you think that's something else that the rest of the country could maybe learn, not just from Fresno, but the cities that you've traveled to, maybe a larger lesson? Is there anything that you want people to have that as that takeaway from this project throughout the country, maybe those who are on the coasts and in coastal America, coastal California?
Yes, very much. I think, you know, I've spent most of my working life in big city coastal U.S. I lived mainly in D.C. over the last decade when not traveling traveling overseas. And I think there's a tendency in the national media to look at the real action in America coming out of five or six big cities, New York, D.C., San Francisco, L.A., et cetera, and the rest of the United States is essentially being the object of whatever happens from these energy centers on the coast. And something we've been trying consistently to convey is the fact that the fabric of American governance and involvement and economics is quite active at almost every level. There are parts of the U.S. that are just battered and not being able to do anything about their circumstances, but there are quite a few more where as soon as you look at the civic connections there, you see people trying to say, in Fresno, for example, this Fulton Street Mall is a disaster. What can we do about it? Our traditional downtown has been destroyed by decades of sprawl. What can we do to try to reverse that? We talked with the mayor 2 weeks ago, and she was quite eloquent on this point. So we're trying to convey to the readership in the country as a whole that the entire fabric of the United States is active and trying to shape its future, not just the people you see all the time in the biggest cities.
James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic, is writing about Fresno this week on The Atlantic's website, theatlantic.com. It's part of his American Futures Project with his wife, Deborah. You can read them online. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, and I'll see you again in Fresno sometime soon.